Hi everyone, my name is Azam Rais and welcome to the second episode of Poet X. Poet X is an online poetry podcast that features a variety of poems from different poets. You can find out more about us on our website on tehalia.my and make sure you listen to our first episode, To Be Heard, Not Seen. Now, as a poet myself, I'd be the first to testify that a lot of my poems are inspired by my own life experience. And I'm quite sure this applies to a lot of people out there. The strong emotions we feel that are triggered by significant events in our lives are testament to just how human we are. And if you ask any Tom, Dick or Harry, they'd probably agree with you that the strongest emotion is indeed love. Today's episode is not about love. It's about the emotion that it leaves behind. Loss. So this episode is dedicated to the lovers out there who have experienced this terrible thing called loss. This goes out to you. Episode 2, The Love We Lost. Our first poet for tonight, Arisha Rozaidi, will perform 2 out of 3 of a trilogy of poems around the theme of The Love We Lost. This is called Fingertips.
When we broke up, I broke down in the toilet because I couldn't wash my hair without feeling your fingers running through them. The walls were suddenly the color of your eyes. I was scared to touch parts of me because you haunted my fingertips. I hope you stumble over traces of me, trip on thoughts of all the things I did for you, smash your face on our memories, and I hope it hurts. I hope you break your nose. You said I wanted too much. You'll tell all your friends how I never understood you. But before you do that, I hope you realize that you were never dating a mind reader. I hope you'll name your daughter after me. You'll try to win at a second chance. I hope she hates you. I hope you get lupus. So next time my drunken hands search for yours, they realize that they're knocking on the wrong door. This isn't their address, and they shouldn't be homesick over a home that's not theirs. I bet you never cried over missed calls. I have a feeling that you will take my name to all of the bad days you've ever had. You can tell yourself that I'm the reason God cursed you, but not long ago you told me I was a blessing. I wish it didn't have to end like this. I wish it would have ended on a night you could say you love me and I could still believe you, so I'd remember you as sunshine and not storms. But now I don't think you ever did. And to be completely honest, I do not hate you. It's 2:02 a.m., and I am awake, waiting to answer a call that says, "Hello, this is me, don't go." But it's 2:03 a.m., and I'm crying because I know my phone won't ring tonight, but I hope I learn to lick my wounds. I'll stop wishing on the stars in your eyes and accept the fact that stars die. It might take weeks or months, but I will grow back the pieces I tried to lose for you, and I will auction off all the love poems I ever wrote for you to people who actually love their girlfriends. I will remove traces of you from my bedroom walls and replace everything with my own long-abandoned happiness, and I will thank you for not calling me that night. I'll start working for a better me instead of hoping for a better you, and I will have friends and myself to perform an exorcism to rid your ghost from these fingertips.
That was Arisha with Fingertips. Her next poem is called Question Marks.
1. I wonder how many smiles have you forced to avoid spitting my name out of your mouth like raisins. From a cookie you thought that was chocolate chip, you bit off a huge part of me and now you can't swallow. I sit on the bitter palate of your tongue, you wish you never had me. 2. How many times have you skipped our song when it comes on your iPod out of fear of time travel? Does Alex Turner take you 6 months back slow dancing in my hallway when my parents weren't home? 3. How many times did you return to the places where I gave you pieces of me just to put them back? My heart on the rooftop, my lips under your pillow, and my eyes in the kitchen by your oven where we had 2 a.m. cakes and 30 a.m. promises. They were both so sweet. They both didn't last long. 4. What have you done to the empty side of the bed? How often does hurt slide into the space next to you under the covers at night? Do you think of me when it does? Do you wish I was next to you so there would be no space left for it? 5. How many words make you cringe because they all sound like my name? 6. Do you avoid mirrors because sometimes the reflection shapeshifts into your old promises? 7. How many walls have you punched to make sure my fingers won't fit in between yours anymore? 8. Do you wear 2 watches on your wrists because they say time heals all wounds? 9. Do you eat away your sadness or do you skip your meals to pretend like it's not there? 10. Do you take longer showers now just to wash away traces of me that still lingers on your skin? 11. Do you force memories of me to walk across a tightrope without a safety net? Can I still trust you that you won't push me off? Tell me that our relationship was more than just a balancing act. 12. Do you see me happy in your dreams and call them nightmares when you wake up? 13. How many nights did you sacrifice to visit the past just so you can count all the ways we could have made it work? We could have made it work. 14. Do you see my face in your morning tea? Do you curse the heavens when it burns your tongue like I used to? How do you forget me so easily? 15. Do you get waves of missing me like I do sometimes of you?
We spoke to Arisha about her poems and she told us how she poured her feelings at the time into these poems as a means of recovering from a loss. This tends to be a similar theme across many poets, and to me, it's always comforting to know that a creative and positive outlet such as poetry is used to console a loss. With all the negative influence around in this age, I feel that it's definitely a good thing to use a positive platform such as poetry to overcome the trials that we face. Anyway, to continue our theme of the love we lost is our next poet, the young and very talented Nadia, with her poem, Not a Bad Breakup.
I dedicate this poem to my ex. Loving you is like swimming a race. Not a 50-meter sprint because those are too competitive, too glorified, too short-lived. Not a 3-mile marathon either. Those get too draining, too mundane, too drawn out. It's not like racing at the Olympics, where it's too many goals, too much pressure, too much disappointment. But it's not like a race between friends. Those are too casual, too half-assed, too much like not racing at all. Loving you is like a race in a lagoon, exhilarating, new, adventurous, but without the dangers of open water. It's like racing in a lifeguarded pool, diving, splashing water, and fooling around, knowing that I'll never be left to drown. It's like swimming along the coastline in a mild summer, warm, soothing, and pleasantly gentle. The water is never aggressive nor rough. But most importantly, loving you is a race with myself. It's about effort, self-improvement, and perseverance, knowing I'll not be compared to anyone else. Loving you is irreplaceable.
That was Nadia with Not a Bad Breakup. Our last poet for this episode is well known in the scene. He has performed on many stages and is a mentor to the younger generation of poets. It's a great pleasure to have him perform for our show today. Please welcome Jamal Raslan with his poem about loss.
Your eyes are not the first thing I remember whenever I think about you. It's your lips. It's hard to not notice the mole on your upper lip, just a little to your left, not too large, not too small, just enough to make people notice, like you. Without doing much, you always seemed to do just enough to make people notice, and I couldn't quite put a finger on it. I'm not sure if it's your height or your stoic expression. Maybe it is how your chest swallows my words whenever you breathe, like temple doors opening to welcome sinners in. Maybe it is how your neck bones seem to lift the troubles off of my shoulders and hold it in my smile whenever you walk towards me. Maybe it is how straight your upper body posture is. Like a new resolution, a revolution. If I didn't know any better, I would take a photo of you standing upright and put it in books teaching Muslim kids how to pray, because that is how one should be standing when they are about to face God. And I swear, the moment I saw you walk in through that door and into my life for the first time, I thought I was about to face God. Not because you are. I mean, we're all just a pale reflection of his light created in his image, but the image of you was the brightest reflection of his light I had ever witnessed, and I wasn't prepared for that. So I kept my seat and hid behind the glow of my laptop monitor, thinking that it would give just enough backlight on my face for you to notice me. That's why I looked down immediately. I didn't feel worthy. And I'm still not sure till today what you saw in me. If it was the backlight, or was it the curious glances from my eyes that were just too small to swallow you whole, that I had to stare longer than I should every time you walked around the house, because otherwise you would just remain a shadow in my mind. I don't need any more shadows. My past is enough. I wondered how often you met God, because every time you walk, regardless of the direction, you seem ready, as if you were going to run into him. And when I say run into him, I don't mean like running into an old friend down the street, but run into him because you've been meaning to go up to him and ask, why has he given you a bad hand in life? If we are the most perfect of his creations, then why did you get a resolve that bent as you grew older until your life went on a tangent, until your lungs could collapse under the weight of its own self, until losing your breath was just a strip away? Some would say I sound blasphemous, but blasphemy is either sacrilegious or reverential, and you, like a warm body in cold monsoon nights, are both. Your body is a temple that I want to enter and never leave, so that I would be praying more. Your voice is a call to prayer I cannot ignore. Your heart is the tomb where I bury myself in. Your mind is the pit where I bury everyone else. Your spine is proof that faith is real. Your smile is proof that God is listening. In your eyes, God, your eyes are proof that I have lived. I think I understand now why you love the sky and why you love taking pictures of the horizon. Because it also makes me wonder about the heavens and how it feels like to be home. And that is why your eyes are never the first thing I remember whenever I think about you. Because the moment your eyes told me that I have fallen for you, I did not realize that losing them will mean that I don't belong anymore. The poem is about loss. The poem that I did just now, I don't have a name for it. It's about loss. I lost someone that I love really, really dearly, and I guess I just had to deal with it one way or another. She left before I realized how big she was, or how big she could be. And sometimes you don't know was good until it's gone. And I guess I've learned that now.
That was Jamal Raslan wrapping up our episode for this week. We hope you enjoyed the poetry you've heard tonight. Credits also go to Safwan Siddiq, who is our producer, Farah Hanis, our designer, and myself, Azam Raiz, as the host and director of Poet X. Poet X is a production of Tehali.my. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks' time, and if you want to get the next episode automatically, subscribe to Tehali.my on iTunes or any other podcast services you use. If you'd like to receive updates, follow us at Tehali.my on our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter accounts. And finally, if you'd like to share your poetry with us and be featured on our show, email me at azam@tehalia.my. I'm Azam Raiz, and this was Poet X. Good night.